Comedy is meant to make you laugh. And in this politically correct world we're living in, being a comedian requires as much grace as a ballerina in a minefield. I'm Scotty Nell Hughes, and on this edition of 360 View, we're going to look at the present world of comedy and how many comedians are finding their cancellation no joking matter. Let's get started. Poking fun or pushing boundaries at sensitive topics is nothing new in the world of comedy. In fact, leading all the way back to the jokers and jesters in the royal court, there has been a fine line between what could be said which pleased the king and his audience and what could have you ordered to a jail cell, or even worse, to the guillotine. Well, not much has changed, except with technology, the audience has become limitless and the chopping block has become symbolic. Yet the death sentence for your career as a comedian is just as much a possibility for those who offend the wrong crowd at the right time. Almost every modern-day comedian at some point has taken heat for one of their routines. Some have used it to gain popularity. Others have found themselves permanently canceled. This is not just happening to comedians from the West, as the rise of comedy in India has found several of their most known comedians under fire for taking political swipes at authorities. Political humor is not always taken lightly in countries like India, where religious standards are still highly respected, as well as pride for India is expected, even in performances outside the country. In China, many aspects of art and culture must be submitted to review by government officials, including comedy scripts. The Industry Association actually released a 94-point list of rules for online platforms, which include prohibition against stand-up shows which indulge in one-sided extreme analysis of social issues. But what effect does censorship or the threat of cancellation have on the industry? So joining me now to give us an insider look at the state of comedy is internationally touring stand-up comedian, actor, and host who is best known for his work on MTV's Disaster Date and NBC's Last Comic Standing, Kevin Kayvon Moetsi. Thank you so much for joining me, Kevin, or Kayvon.
Yeah, thank you for having me. And my real name is actually Kayvon. Sometimes I go by Kevin because it's easier, but my dad is Persian, so he named me Kayvon, my brother Shaheen, my mom Margaret.
You know, I get that. That's, you know, I would hate to see. What did you name your dog?
Yeah, that's actually a very funny story. My dad wanted me to learn Persian, and it's hard in America, especially in Reno, Nevada. Yeah, so he named our dog Sag. And Sag in Persian means dog. So I had a dog named Dog. I had a blue bird named Abi. Abi means blue. So I know two words in Persian, Sag and Abi. Dog and blue.
Which is good because probably the only Persian family would be right there in your household that you'd actually get a chance to speak Persian with in Reno, Nevada. But hey, it works.
Exactly. So yeah, but it's been a really crazy thing to go from being a comedian with like an ethnic family and background. And then if you don't say the exact jokes the radical left wants you to say, you become a racist white supremacist comedian regardless of your Persian heritage.
Well, and that's what has been so interesting to watch this development, because how has this politically correct or woke movement not only affected your career, but affected comedy as a whole?
Well, I'll tell you, all bad ideas somehow start in college. And college used to be a place where George Carlin filmed his comedy special at a college because they were ready to rock and roll and hear all the outlandish things. But somehow college became a breeding ground for safe spaces, getting offended, standing up for your rights, being a victim, even though that's not really happening. So my comedy shows were attacked on college campuses first. Now, that was going back about 6-7 years ago. And then those people are now, what, 24, 25 years old? They're kind of in mid-management or entry level at a company. They're throwing tantrums at companies. Now, companies have to go woke. So anyone who's like, well, it's not affecting me, give it 5 years. I was way ahead of the curve. It's coming to you next.
Oh, just wait, you know, 30, 40, 50 years when it hits the geriatric homes. Then they're going to have woke geriatric. That'll be an interesting interesting time to live through at that point.
We'll have woke AARP conventions and don't do that joke and what are your pronouns, you know, that kind of stuff.
But probably, hopefully, by that point, you just won't care and you just wonder what kind of mashed potatoes they're serving for you at dinner. You know, here's, I think, what really made it change. Do you feel like some comedians are actually using their comedy to advance this activist agenda rather than entertain an audience?
Yeah, so the way it works is usually Comedy Central or the Jimmy Fallon, Jimmy Kimmel, Jimmy Corden, Jimmy Ellen DeGeneres, they would pick who gets to go on their show. Right. Whoever's platformed, America goes, well, these must be the finest comedians we have. The problem for the radical left is social media became the Wild West. And comedians like myself were able to not get picked by Comedy Central because we don't share all the correct views. But just post my video on Instagram, post it on TikTok, post it on YouTube, and then one gets 3 million views without the permission of the curators. And then another video gets 4 million, 6 million. So now you see the radical left is kind of really funneling over to comedy because that's the platform, social media, because that's the platform that they need to control now to keep things like this from happening. This is a big emergency, you know, someone like me getting laughs without saying the things that I'm supposed to be saying.
Well, and I think it also doesn't help in the fact that you have people that were known like on Comedy Central, those faces, all of a sudden they become political pundits. And there's this transition to now they're seen as the experts on major news networks that people look to for opinions. Yet just a year ago, they were hosting a late night show with very little ratings that obviously, you know, a talking dog holding a cigar in his mouth would be on.
Yeah, it's very interesting that people are kind of turning off the TV, they're cutting the cable, they're going online to find the kind of material they want, and it's leveled the playing field to a point. But now the powers that be are like, all right, how do we shadow ban? You saw when Elon Musk bought Twitter and he dug into it, there are little tags they can put on your channel saying, do not promote, do not boost. And then there's other tags like the heat button. And so they can add this thing to your comedy and they can make a radical left comedian have heat. Oh, well, he's got 40 million views. He must be great. And this guy, well, no one's seeing his clips. So they're always tinkering and we always got to be one step ahead of the curve. But to your point, there are like famous comedians who toe the line. And what we love to see is when a few big names, because I've been doing this for what, 10, 15 years, saying what I'm not supposed to. And that's what comedians are kind of supposed to do. But a few big names are finally jumping ship. But Bill Maher constantly falls on the right side of things now lately, which wasn't always his bag. But that just shows you how far left they've gone. Chris Rock's new special, Dave Chappelle, all these artists one by one are getting booted from the left, regardless of their, you know, their black privilege or they're gay or they're this or they're that, Persian, doesn't matter. So we're kind of building numbers, but we're still very much a rebel force.
Well, but do you also think it's because they've made enough money, they don't have to care anymore, that as long as you're having to still care about actually play in the market and get the sponsorship, get the ads, get on Comedy Central, yeah, you're going to tote the line. But once you have enough money in the bank, hey, I'm actually going to tell you the honest truth about what's going on.
And that's what we love. We love that Chris Rock has, you know, he's said it all, he's made his money, and he can actually go out there and say truth now. And his latest special caused a lot of waves because he just slapped the radical left back and forth with their selective outrage and their ability to platform this and that and not be mad when it happens on their side. So, yeah, it's just really interesting time right now. And he, whether they cancel him, which they can't, he's too big to fail, or they yell at him or they attack him or they take a book tour away from him, he goes back to his $200 million mansion. He's cool. So you got to really support people like me who have been doing this. We have our clips and then I go to a futon if this doesn't work out well.
I get that one. Okay, so I need some little insider information here. Is there a line in comedy, do you believe, that should never be crossed? Is there any subject that should be off limits?
With comedy, the basic rule is tragedy plus time equals comedy. You can find something funny in any situation. I'm sure historically there were people doing things, you know, they didn't want to do, building the pyramids, getting whipped and making, hey, that wasn't as hard as yesterday. What's wrong? You know, whatever. There's always a joker in every group and you kind of need that. Otherwise, life is just so desperate. And now the line is usually if you don't let time pass. I'll give you an example. There's a Kobe Bryant who passed away because of a helicopter crash way too soon. And as the news was talking about it, comedians were trying to come up with their hot take on this issue. You know, Kobe passed, but he never used to pass when he played for the Lakers. My line, and I'm not telling anyone else what to do, is be a little classy. You know, you don't have to be first. No one's going to be like, wow, that was such a good tweet. I'm going to go buy a ticket to see that guy. That's the kind of stuff that got a few people canceled because it was so bad taste. And but that's that's up to you, you know, and that's up to the, there, by the way, there's probably 10,000 people that like that tweet and thought that was hilarious. It's not my bag. And so I try to police myself, as every comedian should. And I'm sorry, I don't have a great answer for you of what comedy is, but I believe the Supreme Court kind of said, it's like porn. I can't quite describe it, but I know what it is when I see it. Same with comedy. You don't really know what a good joke is. Sometimes you have to try that joke. You realize just as soon as the audience, that didn't work. You might not ever do it again. To hold someone accountable for that joke for the rest of their life because they made a mistake, I think that's the problem.
Well, it's really interesting you say that, because do you feel, especially audiences now, because of the woke movement or any of these other movements, do you think people have actually become more sensitive these days than they have in the past?
Yes. I used to do 50, 60 colleges a year, and it would go pretty well. And then right around 2015, things would go south. And then 2018, my college agent is going, we're kind of thinking maybe we don't do comedy anymore. Maybe we stick to face painting or balloon animals because those are kind of less offensive. These people are being indoctrinated to be offended. They're being rewarded for being offended. Whoever's offended first is the biggest victim and by far the most virtuous person on campus, because you guys weren't offended by that. I was. I win. I call them offensive. Like, they're just trying. They're basically prospectors. They're looking like, there she blows. I'm the first to be offended by that. And we want to make sure that the next generation or future generations know if a comedian comes to your campus, they're going to try to tell you jokes, make you laugh. Then you go back to class. You're not going to have to go to his show to graduate. You're not going to have to laugh at her joke, but you don't have to stand up and make a scene. And that's what they're basically doing. I've had that at a few shows where it makes it not fun anymore. And I think you've heard a lot of famous comedians, they won't do college campuses anymore because it would be like being a great country singer and just trying to go to a rap concert. It might go okay, but it's probably not going to do that well.
So then have you seen with comedy, sort of like what we've seen with other genres of art, other things, especially with the viral movements, that they're kind of trying to out-sensationalize each other, that one comedian will make a joke, well, I'm going to make it even more wild than what you said, or I'm going to even go more extreme than what you say. I'm going to take it even to that level than you've seen. Is that happening in the comedy world? And why does it seem like the jokes that are acceptable are the ones that are making fun of one political side? Those are okay, but it's not the same as reverse.
Those are the jokes they're platforming. I don't know that they're successful. I watched The Tonight Show. They put a comedian on there. I know most of them. And they have 3.5 million viewers on The Tonight Show. And the clip will have 50,000 views by the end of the week. And I can put a good clip on, and I got 2 million views in 1 week. So just because they're on there, and you know, this has been sanitized and ready for you, I think the people are still voting. And as far as the comedians are concerned, there's a whole group that are just trying to play by the paint by numbers. And then there's a few that pop out and go against the grain. They're by far the most exciting. Chris Rock has done it. Dave Chappelle. I always love Cat Williams, because whatever you think he's going to say, he says the opposite, but makes it very funny. He does a joke about Joe Biden. He's like, leave that man alone. That man is 94 years old. Let's see if your grandpa could give a speech. That man is 98 years old. Leave him alone. He can't walk. Your grandpa can't walk. Joe Biden is 106 years old. So he just makes it funny by a very fun device of just aging him through the comedy joke. And by the end of it, like, Joe Biden's 130 years old as he's telling it. So we love that, because that's not pro Biden. That's not anti Biden. It's just commenting on what we all see. And that's why we love great comedians who go against the grain.
So right now, is comedy kind of writing itself, or are you actually having to, are you basically telling the news because it's so funny sometimes, unrealistic and funny, or are you having to work harder now more than in the past?
Well, every good comedian will have their personal jokes, their observations, and then there's all this material over here. And what I love, and I don't want Chris Rock and all these guys coming over to the side that I've been playing in. The reason I picked that area is this pool was wide open. I was the only kid swimming around, and I was getting pretty successful from it. But yeah, it does write itself. I did a joke recently, and this is the one that went viral, is I said, I miss Donald Trump. And you hear the groans and then people cheered. So you could tell the audience was divided. And being a comedian is like, how do I get myself in trouble, then escape, like Houdini, right? So I said, no, I don't care if you voted for him or not. He would explain what's going on right now in a way we could all understand at a third grade level. Okay, he'd be like, we got a balloon, a great big balloon. This is not a birthday balloon. This is a Chinese spy balloon. We've got weak leaders. Nobody's popping it. I would have popped that balloon so fast. I would have popped it. And so, and the crowd's dying laughing, and it brought the whole room together. You got to see that clip because it's got, you know, now it's got 4 million views after 2 weeks. And people going, yeah, I hated Trump. He would always talk like a child. Others are like, that's right. He could explain it in a way that even Democrats could understand. And but people are just united enjoying the comedy clip, and that's my goal.
Well, Kayvon, I've actually seen that clip even before I knew you were coming on the show. So that's how viral it went. Came across my social media feed. Hold on.
You have to play that on one of these clips.
Absolutely. So after the break, we're going to continue this discussion with comedian Kayvon. Maybe you could actually go find the clip yourself if we can't grab it. And we're going to talk about a subject which has actually left no one laughing. Stick around.
The Russian state-controlled narrative.
Als Teil der Sanktionen gegen Russland gehen die westlichen Länder gegen russische Auslandssender vor.
Mais écoutez, monsieur, c'est pas à vous de décider de qui est journaliste ou pas dans ce pays. On est en France, quoi. C'est pas possible.
We will ban in the European Union the Kremlin's media machine. The state-owned Russia Today and Sputnik.
RT, Sputnik, even our video agency, roughly, all banned on YouTube.
Et merci à vous tous pour votre fidélité et votre soutien.
Look forward to talking to you all.
That technology should work for people.
A robot must obey the orders given it by human beings, except where such orders would conflict with the first law.
Show your identification.
We should be very careful about artificial intelligence.
The point, obviously, is to create trust rather than fear.
I would like to take on various jobs.
I mean, with artificial intelligence, we are summoning the demon.
A robot must protect its own existence, its own existence.
We are back with internationally touring stand-up comedian, actor, and host who is best known for his work on MTV's Disaster Date, NBC's Last Comic Standing, Kevin Kayvon Metze. Thank you so much, Kayvon, for joining me on this. But, you know, we can laugh, and we had a lot of fun before, but this is actually a very serious subject because we're finding comedians being censored today. And is that censorship actually fair on both sides? Are you seeing one side of the aisle being censored more than the others?
Well, the powers that be are in control, and they want the left point of view platformed. They want to make sure that everyone on the right looks like a shaman wearing horns and crazy, even though you find out later the guy was just walking with police getting a tour of the Capitol. So it's just villainize and promote, villainize and promote. I'm always on the side of the villainize, but I do it with a smile. I do my material fairly clean, PG-13. I got on a thing called Dry Bar Comedy, which is done out of Utah. So it has to be clean for the LDS and Catholic people and so forth. And so we're kind of beating the narrative. We're just chiseling away like, no. You guys are not getting the real deal with the comedians out there. So, yeah, they are trying to promote their side and villainize anyone who's moderate like myself or to the right. And it's cool to be able to just kind of take pot shots at them.
Well, I am sure that your sense of humor comes naturally. It's probably in your DNA. But from everything that you've talked about, your work, you are obviously a well-thought-out, crafted writer as well. So how does this censorship or the threat of censorship actually affect not only yours, but this art of comedy and people writing and delivering it?
Well, it's a great question. Comedians have always been given rules when we show up to a gig. If I'm at a gig for, let's just say, an animal shelter, they'll say, hey, if you have any jokes about, like, hurting animals, please don't do them. I'm like, don't worry, we're good. But But you have to acknowledge that the crowd might have a need or a want. And so your goal is to, you know, kind of color between the lines and maybe go outside the lines, but in a crafty way. I'll give you an example. For the Dry Bar special, it's for the LDS community in Utah, but it's going to go global. So I don't want to be a cheesy, like, cruise ship comedian, but I can't say the bad words. That's when comedians get really good, because you start being extra creative. I do a joke about doing a show on a yacht for a bunch of Orange County women. And I said it was cool because I knew if the women fell overboard, they were going to float. And I just did this joke like that. That joke passed the censors. And I go, one lady got mad at that joke. I don't appreciate that humor. That's a stereotype. I'm like, based on your lips, you're going to float different. You're going to be right here with your friend. So I'm doing these jokes and the crowd is like, they're firing at a different level because I'm not saying any of the bad words, but they're filling in the blanks. Now we go into what the left wants. You can't just go against the left on comedy stages and expect to get on the Jimmy Kimmel, Jimmy Fallon, Jimmy Corden show. But if you can slide it in like a child, how you have to give them their broccoli, like in something they already enjoy eating, they might not realize it. And that's what I try to do with my comedy, where I'm kind of performing on two levels. One joke I do is the NBA. I'm like, where are all the woke people here? There's no diversity in the NBA. Okay. Our country is very diverse. Where is the white guys, the Asians, the Mexican people? They should be in the NBA too. Obviously, their black guys are the best at basketball, but if we could raise and lower the backboard, depending which ethnicity is running towards it during the game, everybody could have a fair shot. And the crowd's dying laughing. I'm like, for, you know, white guys, be a little shorter, Asians, okay? Latinos might go under the court. We don't know. And the crowd is just dying because I'm just mocking leftism, but some of them don't realize what's happening.
But how much of an element of truth, though, if people, are you able to get away under the umbrella of comedy that actually people are thinking? Because there are so many things right now in society that just defy common sense and how people look at things.
Oh my gosh, Scotty, it's crazy. I tell people, because a lot of my crowd in the audience at a comedy club is 55, 60 years old. They don't even know what's going on for the 19-year-olds on a college campus. I explained to them during my show, when you show up to work at a new job, you have to stand up in front of everyone and tell them your pronouns. Hi, I'm Kayvon, I'm he, him. And I'm like, some of you are old enough where you would just be standing there so confused, like, why are we doing this? My name is Earl, I identify as Plum and her, I'm the plumber for the company. And the crowd laughs because I'm basically connecting the young generation to the older and letting everyone know what's happening and how I feel about it.
And that's exactly, I think, what makes great comedy, is if there's some way that you can actually connect to it. If you can get into my mind, it's something that I've wanted to say, but I can't, but you can say it and everybody finds it to be acceptable. Bravo on that one. You know, the thing you kind of hit on was this social media and how it's changed kind of stand-up comedy, that you don't have to rely on those specials and those big names before. Comedians would just perform in front of an audience, the joke would live only within the minds of the audience, but now that joke can be passed around, taken out of context, edited, etc. Does that put any sort of, does that make you perform differently or how you speak, and how has that affected other comedians?
Yeah, it is really weird with the editing. When I first started comedy, you wanted a nice 1-hour special. When YouTube came out, what's your best 6 minutes? Now with TikTok, do you have a hot 15 seconds?
And can you do
and
a dance?
So you're like, oh my, I'm just cutting it infinitely smaller. Right. Yeah. But it does affect you because, okay, some of my jokes, you need a beginning, middle, and an end to go through a journey. I do a joke about how women are better looking than men. We all know that. But if we were like on a deserted island, the longer we waited for help to arrive, the better the men would start looking. And I explain how guys get better after 3-4 weeks, tan, abs, hairy, cool. And women would get worse every week until help arrived. And I was trying to cut that into a TikTok and it almost doesn't work because I can't wrap that up in 45 seconds. And I go through how women in the first week, their eyebrows grow in a little bit, unless they're Middle Eastern, then that's day two. And then the second week, hair is coming in. Yeah, so it's just fun. The audience loves that joke at 5 minutes. I don't think they would get it in a 30-second TikTok.
And let me just tell you, a man that'd be laughing at it at home would probably get hit upside the head from his wife when she actually thinks about that. No, honey, you're always going to be beautiful, regardless of whether you have tweezers or not.
You're going to smell great.
You're going to smell great. I'm going to love it. I love it. It's pheromones. I love all those. Those good work words with us. So how do you think countries are dealing with this? Obviously, you know, this last year at the White House Correspondents' Dinners, there was a famous Chinese comedian who had to come over here, and he actually said, I'm less offensive here. I don't have to worry about being arrested. And yet when he went back to China, he got in some trouble for the things that he said here. Western Europe's right. dealing with censorship, political correctness when it comes to comedians. And what about developing worlds? Do you think Africa and Asia are having this kind of culture of stand-up comedy?
Yeah, you can tell the health of a society based on what the people laugh at and how their comedians are treated. So America's okay right now, but it's a little unstable because of the radical left. When radical left gets full control, comedy's not allowed at all. You go to these socialist communist countries, one joke could get you killed, disappeared, these kinds of things. So I'm sure these other countries have a lot to worry about. You don't hear of a lot of hot comedians coming out of Afghanistan after Joe Biden did a horrible pullout. You don't hear about great Iranian comedians unless they're coming from Europe or America. And so that's another group we kind of speak for, or we try to represent. Hey, this is what a Persian looks like when he's telling jokes. If it weren't for me and like three other people, you would never get that point of view. And I can't go to Iran, by the way. I've never been. My dad's from there. I'm not. But I've already said enough online that if I try to cross the border, they pull up my YouTube videos. They go, come with us to this the side room. So I'm not going there either. So we need to be thankful for what we have in the United States. We need to make sure we push back against the radical left, because if they get the power they seek, comedy's over. Free speech is over. I hate saying it like that because it sounds like, oh, this guy's giving himself a lot of importance. But this isn't really comedy. This is a cultural war now.
Absolutely. So I just want to sum all of this conversation up. What do you think is the proper role for comedy in society? Is it to speak truth to power, just have fun, or something else?
You know what? I think there's a place for all of those things. There's silly comedians, there's topical comedians, there's relationship comedians. They can break down dating in a way. And then we need those political comedians to be like, hey, I'm not making fun of Joe Biden for falling down the stairs because he fell up the stairs, and make fun of Fauci, because a lot of the jokes I told about vaccines and masks that got me shadow banned are actually coming true as time has gone on. So we need a comedian for every flavor, every season.
Because without laughter, you might cry. Thank you so much, Kayvon, for joining us on a delightful show.
Appreciate it.
You know, comedy has positive physical and mental health benefits. So often in the present day, like I said, I tell my friends, if we don't laugh at these current events, we might start crying and we probably won't stop. Comedy helps us deal with the crazy and ridiculous events which dominate everyday life. And the closer to reality that a comedian can tap into, the better. However, the intent of the comedian must be pure and without malice. This is where activist comedians have become a problem in present-day culture. By using comedy to cover their agenda of pushing a political ideology and using it to demonize others, comedy has turned into a very dangerous PR weapon. So in this new environment of hostility to the craft of comedy, how many comedians do you think will be able to stand up to all this pressure? I'm Sky Nell Hughes, and this has been your 360 View. Thanks for watching.